Stands for badass motherfucker.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. I realize I just ripped off Jesse's Nerd Up intro, but that's fine, because he's been ripping me off for years before he finally got his own thing. So, no, it's a joke. He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Why?
I'm awkward because we have you-know-who here.
I don't.
Me? I'm not really that big a deal.
You're really not. I'm talking about Lane Austin.
Hello.
CCW referee extraordinaire, and in my heart, does Kelly Blankenship listen to the show?
I don't think he does.
The number one referee in CCW.
Yes, he does. Every week, Kelly listens.
Son of a bitch.
So, do you want to take that back?
No.
You want to take that back? Are you sure?
No.
Well, earlier we did see Lane do the worm in the floor. So there's that. We have a video.
He flexed a lot for us.
Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly.
That was the best part of it. So it is Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Let me introduce your cast for tonight. Shannon Young is your host. Down at the end of the table is the five-star man, Mr. Asa Gray.
Yes.
We got Allie cussing like a sailor A-bear next to me.
I heard it.
Yeah, it was a really bad word.
Really bad
B-A-M
word.
Potty and mouth. And then the letter that comes after that.
It rhymes
naughty.
With... Oh, never mind.
I thought the bell sound she can make was just uncanny.
Like, we know she can do a good Braun Strowman.
Right.
But none of us knew that she was like Michael Winslow from Police Academy.
Allie, Lane is here. This is a special occasion. Will you let him... Will you do your Braun for Lane?
All right, this is really good. This is really good. Are you ready?
Oh, please.
Braun.
Oh my God!
It's uncanny. It's uncanny.
Is he here? I'm scared to death.
I can die now.
There are a lot of cupcakes.
There are. Lindsay made them. All right. So those voices you hear, those extra voices. Dalton Anthony not with us tonight. He had a friend down, and they are doing Christmas stuff together.
They're trying to get him back up. I mean, like he's down on his back. He had a friend down.
Well, and he's not down. He's up from Texas.
Yeah, he's up from Texas.
He said he had a friend down.
He's a good guy. Good guy. Andy. Andy's a good guy.
I saw him at Target.
Yeah, you will be. Wait, what?
I saw him and his friend at Target.
Oh, you saw him
and
his friend at Target. Okay. Yeah. So that's Barry James Carafa, who you know from.
I'm also the Mr. 500 Star Man.
No, you're not.
Wow.
Oh, damn, you guys gave yourself nicknames.
We earned these nicknames. You have a nickname. It's the drummer.
We're fighting. You know what? I'm going to save it to the end. But.
And making his first appearance on Pro Wrestling Unscripted and on Podzilla 1985 in general is one of our very good friends, Lane Austin.
Hi.
This is going to be an intense.
Proving why he's a referee.
You're joining a great group. We've had, who have we had from CC? Well, Billy Hills and Sarah, obviously. Mathis has been on the show.
Brandon.
Well, Mathis was on a lost episode. We won't talk about that one. Brandon.
We'll get him back.
We'll get him back, hopefully.
Jackson.
Jackson Crowley. Jason mm-hmm. Wells.
Jason
Lee Montgomery.
Wells.
Kevin. Ken Murphy.
I was like, who are you reaching for Kevin? I was like,
oh,
I
don't we're know. On. I mean,
did we get Kevin
Dalton
Lee?
And
I'm like,
on
blacked
Kevin's
out.
Show.
Like, I'm going to be mad if I don't remember
Lee's
that.
Been on here before.
Lee's been on here. I said Lee. Lee's been on here before. Yeah, we've had quite a few.
Austin.
And, Austin Lane, mm-hmm. The champ,
yep.
Cody Wilson,
Megan,
Jeff Hardy,
Little Bit,
that's right.
Little Bit's been on here,
or and Marnie at the time.
It was just Megan.
Okay,
it was the third personality, the one that likes me. None of the rest do, and now Lane Austin, our favorite referee.
It's a real
assuming
pleasure.
Kelly doesn't listen to this.
It's okay.
We know CeeLo doesn't listen to it because his name's not in the title.
Ouch. Man,
now I know how Dalton feels when he tries to laugh and not laugh.
There has been like three subliminal shots to three different people in the first 5 minutes.
So. Let me say, jokes aside, I actually do like CeeLo quite a bit. When he was at the last show, oh no, it was the.
Imagine every time you say something nice about me when I listen to the show, I picture that same thing.
I've got
me.
It's Parkinson's or something. Yeah. But no, CeeLo and I did that thing at the end of the show. It was. For a reason.
The dance-off?
Yeah, because Austin got hurt and everybody was worried about him. And literally CeeLo, and I'm being 100% serious, I want to give him so much credit, that he grabbed me and said, let's do this. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that. Like, I just talk. And we ended up doing this thing where he pins me and he counts and everybody went home happy.
And then he kicked out.
That was the best part.
Yeah.
That was the best goddamn part.
That was pretty awesome.
And no, that was really good. So I will give, yeah, I love.
It was entertaining yourself.
I love CeeLo. He is very entertaining. So you have to understand, any shots we take here on the show against people is in love. It's in jest, unless it's about certain people.
Well, I mean, I've heard several shots to myself. So yes.
never called you that name, to be fair.
Well, and like also like it's that thing where it's if we don't talk about someone, there's probably a reason.
You probably don't like them.
Yeah. Like Osby's old feud mate.
That's you. That's you bringing that up.
I'm the new one. No, me. I'm saying this is new. I'm not going to tolerate that in 2018.
Or his old tag team partner. I mean, there's lots of people. Lots of people.
Bam.
Almost knocked my mic over on that one. Okay,
we've been here before. It's been a long night with dealing with microphones
and
technology.
Me, I just admit it. I'm kind of full at times.
You are a special snowflake.
I mean, if you were sabotaging the first three Facebook Lives that we tried to do,
yeah,
for CCW Live.
So if you're a CCW fan and you're listening to this, as you do every week, and thank you because you guys are awesome. First off, we're back from our Christmas vacation. We took a couple days off. This is our first show back, and God, you can tell because we did CCW Live, and it wasn't our fault.
No, I was going to say,
we got snitsky.
That doesn't have anything to do with...
It was a lot of fun, nonetheless.
It ended up being a lot of fun.
It ended up being fun. That first, like,
oh, I enjoyed watching everyone get frazzled and...
Of just
That's
having
because
to
you don't run the show. Like, we had the award show, and we're so jazzed about it.
It's like having to do a presentation in front of your boss.
But that's what I'm saying. That's...
And then everything goes wrong, and your boss is just sitting there taking pot shots at you.
And then you also realize you're not wearing pants.
Well, that's why I enjoyed it so much.
So I don't have the blanket on.
I've been there where I'm, like, worried about how things are going to go, and I'm like, oh, it's nice to see someone else struggle every once in a while and realize, you know what? Stuff happens, but
I think
we bounced back, and it ended up great, man.
I think Brandon
we
said
made
something.
We chicken salad out of chicken.
I think
Pretty
Brandon
well.
Said something similar in one of the streams where he's just like, I feel so genuinely bad for you guys right now. I was like, oh, yeah. Pity.
That was from his heart.
That's
too.
The best one to feel.
So you guys can go to CCW's Facebook page and you can see, ignore all the other videos except for the last one.
Did they get posted?
The first one did because I thought it was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. By the third damn one, I stopped posting them.
She was the Gooch and Scrubs.
God bless you. Long story.
Magical show.
Long story.
I let down Ace. He asked me to, can you text me when you go back up again? I'm assuming he meant the CCW Live.
Yeah, and to be fair.
Ace, you should be on the edge of your seat waiting for that notification to pop up.
I want to point out, to be fair, go back and listen to that video. Because I think I say it on the air, but I literally, as I'm looking at the video, I say, hey, Ace says text him when we're back on the air, and you completely no-sold me. So I went, okay, well, none of my business.
Oh, because you had my phone in your hand.
I had your phone,
Because I was looking at Allie's phone and making sure I didn't need to defend myself.
I'm just glad that Lane kept his shirt on and Allie's coming home with me. As friends.
Lane's coming home with
Knight's
me.
Knight's still young.
It's merely because I love you.
Is it friends, Lane? Are you coming? I'm going to do my...
Is that... So,
this is my voice, my right. NPR voice.
All right, so before we get into the news, which is going to happen very soon, I have to ask you, Lane, when you... I know you don't friend zone women. Do you tell them at via text you just got put in the friends lane?
You know what?
I tell most people to stay out of that lane.
Oh, golly.
Is that, wow, you
no,
filthy you
no,
pirate
no,
mouth.
No, I don't. But I tell you what, I'm going to copyright that.
You're going to use it for now?
I'm going to use that
you
for
can
now.
Have it.
Look
you
for,
can have it.
Look for some new Lane Austin t-shirts. Thank you.
So, actually, thank we're you. Working on some Lane Austin.
Can I share a real story with you real quick before
I
we
wish
do this?
You would.
And I mean this, I feel terrible about this.
Uh-oh, maybe I wish you wouldn't.
Barry messages me earlier and says, hey, Lane's going to be up here. And we, Kenny, you know, do you want him on the show? And I said, absolutely. Like, I absolutely want Lane on the show. And we talk about it and like, he says he's coming up, but he's staying the night with me. And I thought, man, that's a long trip just to hang out. And it was hours later, I realized you meant Lane Austin. I thought you meant Austin Lane.
You're cheating.
I don't even have Austin Lane's phone number
like
you.
You're cheating on me now, Barry? That's great.
No, there's only one. Lane and Austin in my heart.
Now, as I told Asa, like I'm more than happy to have you on the show because I love you. You were one of the first people in CCW that I fell in love with, so I am so glad you're here. But I felt stupid because I was going to make a giant post, CCW champ in the house tonight.
Well, and also,
can you imagine how let down everybody at CCW would have been if that you had told them Austin Lane and Lane Austin was on the show?
You get a message from Austin Lane that's just like, I might be
Wait,
a little
what?
Late.
I am.
That's all right, I'm on my way.
And then he would have shown up.
He would have.
And we would watch Ghostbusters all night on 4K. No. Trust me, we know what we're doing. This ain't our first rodeo, pal.
It looks like it's not plugged in.
This is our second.
This is like our sixth tonight. All right, let's get to the show. Let's get to the news. Asa, this is near and dear to your heart because you got one.
I did.
Rusev Day shirts are on back order until January 1st.
Rusev Day.
Yep.
Asa
the
was
the happiest of Rusev Days.
Rusev Machka.
Asa was so happy when he got the shirt.
I put it on.
I'm happy for him.
I put it on immediately.
Yeah, yeah. So these things
you know
are
who
selling.
You got it from? Was it like a secret admirer?
It was Dalton.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the best thing Dalton ever did.
It really is.
That's finally, he didn't suck at something.
Other than wear that blanket like a champ.
He got something.
His mom
right.
made that for him.
Well, not all
she
of us
She also
have
gave
moms,
him a badass
so.
Name, and look what happened to the poor kid.
Dalton?
It's she from
named
Roadhouse.
Him after Dalton from Roadhouse. Literally, she loves. I asked him, I said, so this is a true story. I said, so your name's Dalton. Did your mother name you that after Dalton? Because that's Patrick Swayze's character in Roadhouse. And he said, actually, yes, she loves Patrick Swayze. And I said, how disappointed is your mother?
You think? But do you think he could have made that up? Just you could have said anything.
No, he messaged her.
Did he name
her,
you after Dalton Castle? Yeah, she did.
No, he like messaged her and like showed it to me and sent me the text. And it's like, yeah, I'm a big Patrick Swayze fan, and I named him after Dalton from Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a true thing, and then that's what we ended up with.
I'm also a fan of messaging mothers. I have a Ouija board here in case I want to get into contact with mine.
I might need one to get in contact with mine.
Easy. Barry, it's not funny when you do
Barry,
it.
Barry, you cannot one-up that. Just accept it.
Just accept it.
I called her on Christmas.
All right, so more important notes, and this is serious. It's serious time.
I'm sorry.
Okay. This sucks. Dean Ambrose, getting back to the real news. Dean Ambrose out 9 months.
Is the projected, Meltzer was saying that the average recovery time for
triceps?
For triceps is 5 to 6. So they could be doing the thing where they artificially kind of. Well,
so it's a surprise
he was supposed
return.
To be out for 9 months, but look how resilient he is. He's back in 6.
Kind of like John Cena, except he really did it.
Where's the tricep that got tore in the first place? So maybe it doesn't take as long for it to recover if you really don't have one.
Well, it's.
Well, I kind of stole that from someone else sitting at the table.
I mean, it's Dean Ambrose, so it's like, I don't think he would take time off if he didn't have to. Apparently, he's been working hurt for a long time already.
Yeah, and this makes him, now that he is out, I read this today, I don't know if you read it, he was the, I don't know how you want to word it, the hardest working guy in WWE. He worked the most dates without taking the most dates off.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he is hurt, that title goes to Jimmy Uso.
Yep.
Who has worked, I think they said when you count, Florida, it's been years since he took more than, I think 2 weeks off at a time.
Yeah, it was something like that. Cause I saw, wow. I saw something that was like a headline on Reddit.
Yeah.
Wasn't that kind of like, when he was on the Stone Cold podcast and Stone Cold tried to tell Dean Ambrose that, you know, he thought he was sitting, you know, kind of resting on his laurels a little bit.
It was right after he won the championship.
Yeah, and he's
too.
Like, well, where are you getting this from? Wikipedia? You know, like he didn't even know where he was from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he was kind of, Dean Ambrose was like, I haven't taken a day off in forever.
Well, so. And it was, I think it was less that he wasn't saying like, you're not working hard. Like,
yeah.
Cause clearly he was wrestling the most matches in a year. Like they put him on Raw and SmackDown live events where he would wrestle on one in the first half of the card, drive 3 hours to the next town just so he can get to the main event of the next one.
Right.
I think it was more just like, kind of like how you can tell when Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura are not motivated.
Yeah.
It's more of a, you weren't putting your heart into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
I
mean, if you're,
think
if
is
I'm
a
wrestling,
fair accusation.
If I'm doing 200 matches a year though, or like close to three, I think it was almost 300 matches a year. Like, yeah. I get that.
That's why it was easier in the 80s, because guys like Hogan come about doing the same thing every night, which was basically a punch, leg drop. Crowd goes home happy. No one ever accused him of resting on his laurels.
I didn't
because,
go home happy at all.
I did, because I love Hulk Hogan. He had the biggest
Roddy
muscles.
Jimmy Uso
ones.
Has had 982 matches on main roster since June 2010, never more than 34 days off.
Which is both incredible and kind of depressing. Like, so Barry and Lane, this is something I believe. I want you to tell me if you agree with this in any way. Do you think that there should be an Ace and Allie, obviously, as well? Do you think there should be an off season in wrestling? Should there be maybe a rotating roster where half the year maybe these guys work, the other half these guys work, and maybe they switch back and forth? Or do you think that wrestling as it is right now is okay with the wear and tear these guys put on their bodies?
And this really, I think it would be beneficial. I think it would also, in some ways, I think the fear is if people, it's like if you skip one Sunday, you quit going to church.
Yeah.
There's a fear that if they miss a couple shows, then they're not going to watch. But I think also the true fans, it could build up some anticipation for when they come back.
Right.
I don't know if you'd want to have a rotating, because then you're still going to have, like with Raw and SmackDown, there's certain guys you're not going to see match up with each other. And this guy is here when that guy isn't. How do you set up that schedule?
Right.
So, I mean, I think even if it was like a month, if they gave them
like 2 months off, like an off season,
like two separate. I'm not saying that's what they should do, but I can understand the mindset behind it, because there's people are getting hurt a lot lately, and it's not like high impact stuff. I don't know if that has a lot to say with the physicality of the performers. Like, you know, the guys aren't as big as they used to be. Like Dean Ambrose, for instance, we're talking about him getting hurt. I don't know if it's a result of that or if it's just a result of those guys really what's expected of them in the ring, you know, what they're doing in there compared to what they were doing back, like you said, the punch, punch, leg drop. Now they're doing flips.
When that was the norm, flip kicks right. and stuff. Like, what about you?
I think if they had the opportunity to take time off, a lot of them would not do it because they have that, they'll have the thing that they give Brock Lesnar all the time now, or Cena, the part-time stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't want that. You know?
Also, maybe the fear that if, let's say, because a guy like Brock Lesnar obviously doesn't have to worry about it. Undertaker doesn't have to worry about it. But Asa, you take a guy like Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, maybe not even them because they're super hot. Who's a guy that if you took him off TV for 6 months would be afraid, I'm going to lose my spot?
There's people that if you take him off for 6 weeks, for 3 weeks, look at Ty Dillinger. The first, this SmackDown,
that's a shame,
him losing to Jinder Mahal was the first time we've seen him since he wrestled for the United States Championship at whichever pay-per-view.
And so if Jinder's not, you know, I kind of feel like, I'm sorry, I mean, it's jump this, but if Jinder's not going to win the U.S. title, what's the point? Why not give Ty a little bit of, because he and Bobby Roode had a great match for the NXT title in NXT.
I think what they're doing, and Lane, I'll get to you just 1 second, sorry, but I want to reply to that. I think what they're doing is they're trying to give Jinder more credibility.
Right, I understand.
You don't have him just win the title back
and
from AJ
right
now.
And then lose to Ty Dillinger, who hadn't been on in 3 weeks.
Right.
I get that, too.
I think their assumption is, all right, Jinder was just our champion. We'll put him in this tournament. I don't think he's going to win, but I think he'll go far. And then if he goes back after AJ Styles, that gets him more credibility. Instead of just, oh, here was a guy who was a jobber 2 weeks ago, literally, Asa.
It worked for Jinder, though.
Well, until they hindered him.
I mean, that was the Singh brothers.
Like, well, I mean, I'm kind of, I don't have, a, I'm gender neutral, so.
Okay, that was actually damn funny.
I see what he did there.
Yeah.
I don't think, like for instance, like if you leave for a month, like no one's talking about The Miz anymore and what he did. Like
we
for,
are, but
for,
we miss
for,
him.
For the last couple years, he, in my opinion, he's one of the best heels.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Yeah. Allie, did we tell you what happened at WrestleMania?
You did.
We all had bets going about who was going to win the match, and Allie's was Miz, and I had Zack Ryder. So Miz, yep. Allie, what happened? Miz climbed up,
so,
and what happened?
He climbs up, and he pretty much just sits on the top of the ladder and does the Miz thing where he's all cocky, and then...
Well, hold on. You have to mention that at the same time, Allie was doing the Miz thing and was getting all cocky.
She was standing up excited that her pick was about to win.
And then Zack Ryder...
What can I say? Woo! It's Evening Shade over here.
She's a Mojo Rawleigh fan.
Woo, woo, woo.
No. And then Zack Ryder comes out and pretty much knocks him off the ladder. And then what does Shannon do? He, like, pushes me off the chair.
I did. And she was sitting in my lap, so I get up and just throw her aside and get in her face.
No, actually, I wasn't celebrating for The Miz. I was yelling at him.
Oh,
because
she's
pissed. He was just sitting at the top of the ladder.
Was that 2015?
No, this year. Was that 2 years ago?
I think so.
What year is this?
It would be 2015.
It
would be 2015.
Yeah, it wasn't this year's. For sure.
So do you think that same problem exists, though, where if, like, someone disappears for a month and they get forgotten about it, if instead of, like, not doing a rotating thing, but to do, like, okay, after WrestleMania, there's 2 months with no WWE programming. They sit, like, and they do whatever they want to do, highlights and whatever else. But if everyone's gone for that amount of time, and then it kind of just comes back and starts fresh, do you think there's still that, well, they didn't do, I mean, the people that they don't use... Like in that beginning of year, like if after this year's WrestleMania, they just went away for 2 months or a month. Ty Dillinger, yeah, you'd probably kind of forget about because he wasn't used a whole lot. I don't even know where I'm going. Maybe it would be worse than the alternative of just like, oh, so now like Dolph Ziggler. Except there's a story reason.
I know no one listening can see this, but I pulled up a picture from 2015. This is Rollins' reaction after Zack Ryder won the title.
He's so happy that he's hiding his face.
He's got his head down. I'll post it on my Facebook page so you can see it. And he was literally upset that Zack Ryder won the title. And this was two years ago.
I mean, Zack clearly should have won earlier than that.
I mean, and he
I
went on to
remember
have
who
a
he wanted to have win, but he was like, I was like, what's wrong? He said, I can't believe that he just won the title. And I'm like...
Well, he went on to have that great, memorable reign.
So anyway, so I think that...
fight with Miz's dad or somebody the next
night? No, he lost the next night.
So anyway, I think that WWE is kind of like the jealous boyfriend who doesn't want to let his girlfriend out of his sight for more than 2 minutes because he's afraid that if she's out of his sight, that someone else is going to get her. And I think they feel like if we take a month or two off, then the ratings will go down. People will forget about us. But I mean, like, that doesn't happen to NFL. That doesn't happen to Major League Baseball. These guys take months off at a time. And when they come back, it's even hotter.
If the fans really knew what they really put their, the wrestlers put their body through, they would be more understanding and be okay with them taking a little break every once in a while and not, you know, not criticizing for it. Because, I mean, like, you go in that ring and you fall on your back. Tell me how that feels. You know what I mean? And
Dalton can, because you body slammed him.
I did, and that was one of the best feelings I've ever had in my life.
I wonder how the wrestlers feel about this.
You know, like, Dalton getting body slammed?
No, yeah, well, that.
I'm pretty sure we know.
About the, like, an off season or. I've always heard it kind of discussed in on message boards.
It's that thing where I can, like, there are people that if we mentioned, like, even with just CCW taking off December, like, people just itching to get back.
Yeah, they want it.
The idea that someone like Dean Ambrose or Jimmy Uso, like, they don't do this because they feel like they have to and it's their job. Like, they wouldn't be working that hard if they didn't absolutely love it and absolutely want to do that. So for some of these guys that if you said, oh, hey, by the way, you know, you're taking off April and May. Why? No.
No.
Can we?
Well, the reason is the problem with WWE is they're not, I'm not saying I'm pro or anti union at this point. I don't want to get into a political discussion, but if they're not working, they're not getting paid.
Right.
So for the most part, that's why those guys don't want to take time off.
They don't want their spot taken.
There's a small portion they may get, but there's incentives they get from being at the shows, from et cetera, et cetera. So that's why they don't want to. That's why a lot of them hurry up and get back sooner than they're supposed to as well.
And the network, with that coming out, we already know that it's dipping into
pay-per-view bonuses
and stuff like that. Because who was it that left pretty much because of that? Well, Neville. He didn't leave because of it, but that was something he was upset about.
That was one of the things like that in Austin, him and Austin Aries. But like they've, like, if you listen to any of the older guys, like people who've been there longer, like when they go on Stone Cold or Chris Jericho's podcast and they talk about like the pay and stuff, just like, yeah, it's a noticeable difference. Like getting on, being on the WrestleMania card was a pretty significant bonus. Like it was like a bonus check as opposed to, okay, well now everybody gets on between the 6 hour main card and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Right.
Everybody's on Mania. That doesn't necessarily translate to any extra.
Like, I wonder how much Finn Balor got paid to wear that skull mask to walk down to the ring with Triple H.
Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Was he one of them?
Yeah, he was one of the skull.
Punk was one of the Tommy Gunn, Cena's entrance.
That was pretty cool. Of Summer Rae and Sasha and Charlotte.
Yep.
Were the three women with Triple H in 1 year. Well, speaking of WrestleMania, let's talk about Wrestle Kingdom.
Ooh, yeah.
See how I did there? So, Wrestle Kingdom 12 is coming up next week.
It's next week because we're going to do like the preview of it, but by the time as we're recording it, like it's going to be on the air like 3 hours later.
Right.
Because it's in Japan and time zones.
Magic.
Well, Barry, I'll tell you now.
I want to watch
Japan has a different time zone than America.
We've talked about wanting to watch it live, but with it being on a Thursday, like I have to be at work at 8.
Yeah.
The next, like.
And you said it would be like 3 in the morning?
Yeah. So I think what Dalton had talked about is getting New Japan World and then just going radio silent on like social media, everything, just to avoid any kind of spoilers, and then do like a group watch that night.
Treat it like Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Cover your ears and go, no, whenever people talk about it.
Except also hopefully not some random subreddit pop up and be like, oh, hey, by the way, big three plot twists.
I can't believe that Kenny Omega fought the Porg. Speaking of Kenny Omega, Omega.
You just gave Cornette an aneurysm. He doesn't know why, but he just got in a really bad mood.
He felt a disturbance in the old bitch force.
Cause Kenny would make the Porg look like $1 million.
Oh, I now am envisioning a match between Kenny Omega and a stuffed Porg.
Hey, Lane Austin has no idea what you're talking about.
It would be cool to have the Porg be entertaining. So anyway.
Ask Lane how many Star Wars movies he's seen.
How many Star Wars movies have you seen?
3.
You are lying right now.
Anyway.
Does Heath know this? Like, he doesn't listen
Heath
to the show.
Heath is a huge fan. Oh, he doesn't listen to the show, does he?
I could care less.
that's how many shows.
He said, I could care less, which means he cares.
He said couldn't.
Damn. I tried to help.
So if you're an up and coming referee, Stride, I hear, is probably going to be looking pretty soon.
There's this one guy I know named CeeLo. Anyway,
what's Ricky, what's Ricky Steamboat doing?
He was amazing. Bring him back.
He did great.
How cool was that, by the way, working with Ricky Steamboat, Lane?
Sitting down and talking to him for like 15 minutes was like probably one of the pinnacles of my wrestling
Cheap
career.
Plug.
Like seriously, like my favorite match of all time was Steamboat and Savage before it became everybody's favorite match.
You're
you know?
A hipster of it. Like you were there before.
Before it was cool, yeah.
Actually, it was in Pontiac Silverdome and I lived a few miles from there, so I think maybe I was a fan.
And there's Barry One Up in there.
One of many. Let's keep track.
Okay. But yeah, just to have him give me advice, you know, just sit there and talk to one of my idols, like childhood idols, man, I mean, what else? As a fan, what could you ask for?
It's going to be hard to top that, isn't it?
It was, you know, that's one of the, that's on my top five of what's ever, like, happened in the last few years.
Well, I've got a surprise for you. Ricky Steamboat is, no, he's not.
but anyway. I do have his action figure in my bag.
So 5 minutes ago, I mentioned Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega says that he wants Okada Naito to main event Wrestle Kingdom 12.
Yes. Well,
Hulk Hogan wants to still be employed in the WWE.
Well, it's not like a way out there statement because there's a lot of debate about which is going to be the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 12. Is it going to be the IWGP Championship between Okada and Naito, or is it going to be Jericho Omega? Because
it almost seems like an angle.
I mean,
I smell build of an angle at least.
I don't see, and I don't think it is because like Omega says he very much thinks that the championship match should be the main event.
I feel the same way.
What he said was, you know, he couldn't beat Okada and Naito beat him in the G1. So I mean, he's still kind of making it about himself because all these interviews he does are kind of like half in character, half out. But he very much thinks that the championship match should be the main event. Chris Jericho, on the other hand, is like, no one knows who anyone else in this company is other than me. I should be the main event.
That's
just
what
full
and the big
Jericho
rumor.
On
the huge rumor is that
slaying F-bombs at that.
Naito and Jericho could be building towards something.
That's something
this
else.
This is all building towards Kenny Omega. This is the first match, and he's going to show up at the Royal Rumble, and so is Chris Jericho, and that's why Vince let him go over there. Come on,
you
guys.
I think it's more likely that Omega's at this Royal Rumble than last
wisher.
Year's.
Everybody knows.
I don't think it'll happen. But
I don't
I think,
either. I'm not getting my hopes up again.
But I think it'll be more. I did not it was that thing where it's like, I mean, if it happened, I'd love it.
So,
I didn't think it would.
Do you think that McMahon's or WWE Titan and whatever are a little upset with Jericho right now for
not
being
at all.
Okay? Because I was just saying, if they were, they wouldn't have shown that clip of, you know, of Raw and him coming back against his debut against The Rock. They're still kind of promoting Jericho. So are they using it to manipulate the minds of the WWE fans?
Can you make a tin hat for this guy real quick and put him I want to believe? Because your conspiracy theory is sickening me.
What night of the week is that? I can come and blow that up too.
Anything. You sound like me. Because I want to believe that too. Like one of the next things was that Omega hopes that this thing with Jericho will lead to future collaborations with WWE, and I want to believe that. I want to believe
if they didn't have to leave
once
New
a month
Japan.
On
it'll be interesting too because like so. But the other half of that quote about Omega wanting Okada Naito to main event Wrestle Kingdom 12, he's like, but the world is watching me and Jericho, so he knows like that
wasn't me.
It was Jason Wells. Because he's also messaging me,
and then because Omega did a interview with Sports Illustrated that's where he mentioned that you know he really thinks that it would benefit both companies to work with the two biggest wrestling companies in the world to kind of come together. Because Jericho said, "No, I've said this is Kenny's last match in Japan. I never said this was and me. I mean, Kenny will only have once in Japan. I never said I was only wrestling one match in Japan. So it could all be leading to the Naito feud, which some of the comments Naito's made have not been very flattering to WWE."
Oh God! I think I read one of them was like
because one of them was
nothing
like,
they've ever done.
No, it was like because he was talking about like New Japan needs to stop trying to cater to WWE. Look what they've done when you just let them take Nakamura and Styles and the Good Brothers. Like you just let them walk off with four of your biggest names, and now you're still trying to coddle them and try to play to them, and that's stupid.
He's kind of right because I mean, just from a fan's perspective, and we've said this before. What have they done? Of the four guys that you just listed, AJ Styles came out really well, I think. I think they're doing well.
And that was only because he came in with the intention of him being a mid-card.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the Royal Rumble and the pop he got from the fans, and Vince was like, well, those fans know who he is. Why, we might have something here.
Vince, when'd you get here?
That sounds that
was
uncanny.
That was more Sergeant Slaughter-ish to me.
Sergeant Slaughter would have been more like that. Anyway.
But look at the other guys. Nakamura. Yeah, the jury's still out on Nakamura. Because I feel
NXT
like
NXT gold.
Yeah.
WWE, now he's got those, he's got those
NXT,
bell bottoms.
NXT, the first match.
First match was gold. Everything else was a solid
B.
Yeah.
I don't care what Sarah thinks about it.
He's down in the D's.
The Good Brothers, though.
Now
that's
look at
just,
the Good Brothers.
That's saddening.
That's unfortunate.
And that's such a good. That's such a good.
Those
one,
brothers
the entire
are so
four.
Good.
I love the idea that someone posted on Reddit. It's like you need to have a Miz Taraj 3-on-1 beatdown on Finn Balor and have them just come out and save him.
Which like, Finn Balor is another example of someone from Japan that they took and.
Finn Balor, I will say they did phenomenal with him in NXT.
Because I mean, he did great on NXT, and
then
he
won the
great.
Title and he got hurt, but now. Since he's come back from the injury, does he not ever get a rematch for the title that he lost?
Well, I mean, just Kevin Owens.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just like
there's still never been a rematch for the Universal Championship.
That's because Vince McMahon goes hot and cold on a lot of people. It's notorious. Look at Dolph Ziggler. Look at Zack Ryder. Look at I don't know. You can look through history at a bunch of different guys. I think that Finn Balor will be at the top again someday. But I feel guys like Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson will never be.
No.
They're lucky if they're going to get a mid-card feud with someone, put them over, and then probably get released at some point.
Well, Raw is a 3-hour show. And.
With 40 minutes of wrestling.
Right. And most of the time, Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose or The Bar are in two of the matches.
Yeah.
They'll have a match earlier, then it turns into, now we're going to have a tag team match as a main event. I'm like, Gallows and Anderson are back there, like, playing cards or dominoes or something. And I'm
someone
like,
on Reddit pointed out that it was something like 78% of Raws in the last 5 months have included Seth Rollins wrestling one of the Bar. Like, just, it's...
Well, that might not happen anymore with the injury to Sheamus, supposedly, and now them winning the titles on Raw. That's...
Well, now it's going to be Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan versus The Bar.
Which
looking back, so like you said, like there's 3 hours of Raw. I had to go and read a recap to try to find anything newsworthy that happened. Which, granted, it was a Christmas Day show, which apparently sold
ratings
crazy well.
Which was the first time in the history of WWE that they've had a live show on Christmas Day.
No, it's not.
That's what they said,
is
like
it?
20 times on Raw the other night. The first time Monday Night Raw has ever been live on Christmas night.
Because they did a statement where they said like wrestling live events on Christmas. Apparently crazy popular for the actual ticket sales, like for the people in attendance, but for the actual
I'm talking about a televised live show.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, I'm sure they've done shows on just like they did one Easter here in Cape Girardeau,
and I still think that's
first Raw that was televised on Christmas Day.
That's shitty. And we said it before that it's shitty that you make these guys work on Christmas. Like, I get why, but like, my God, Christmas should be the one day of the year. Like, whether you're religious or not, it's a sentimental thing. Like, it should be the one day of the year where nobody has to work. Let there be one damn day where everyone can be with their families. I hate that anyone works on Christmas.
But Shannon, there's money to be made.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I'm never going to be on top. That's why I work for the man instead of be the man. But you know what I've got instead?
Integrity.
Debt.
Xbox One X. Oh, yeah.
And an Xbox One X. Okay.
And Christmas off.
What's that?
And Christmas off.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But I volunteered to work. I just, he wouldn't let me. That's a true story.
They were open?
I wanted to be, but Lonnie wouldn't let me. He said, no, take the day off. I wanted to be open because I was like, well, I ain't going to be doing nothing anyway.
What'd you just say like 3 seconds ago?
Yeah, well, that's for everyone but me because I don't have family.
Do as I say, not as I do.
You have family. Look around
this table.
Sitting
at this table, yeah. New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to announce a video game at Wrestle Kingdom 12. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, for the fan fest. Because it's like they just buried it in an announcement, so it may not be like it may not be coming to America. It may just be like a Japan only thing,
but
that's, you can import. That's still awesome.
Yeah, and you can import usually.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's region free Xbox One and PS4, which is what I assume they're putting.
Yeah,
for.
I don't know. Well, hey man, well maybe they'll do a Switch version.
Well, they've got a US title, so maybe they'll make a game.
I mean,
for
they are they are absolutely trying to appeal to the Western audience
and like, succeeding.
Yeah, like they very
go to
much
Hot Topic. Each time there's a new
Young Bucks, they are the number one selling shirt.
Or any
in
of the clubs,
topic.
The shirts that you go in there and like, they'll start off with a stack. You go in the next day, there's like two or three shirts left. So,
well, it was either that or My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, that's true. Know? That's true. They do still have some sweet Slayer and Iron Maiden shirts available at Hot Topic, Cape Girardeau, West
They've
Park.
Never made a sweet Slayer shirt. Anyway, I'm excited about that game.
If you could see the look on my face right now.
It'll be interesting to see like how far into it is, or if they're just like.
If you could see Ellie rolling her eyes at the look on my face right now, I'm sorry.
I don't think that's why
she's trying to do a show
eyes
right now. I'm sorry. I'm
working on it.
You know, I will say this: everyone has to work a lot harder when you're around.
Thank you.
So, you know, you're like the Homer Simpson of podcasts. Just throw that
I don't
out
know
you.
About thanking you for that.
Asa, Wrestle Kingdom 12 has sold 30,000 tickets, though. Now, you said you were going to research that
I was
versus
trying to,
last year.
Well, I was trying to find, because apparently they sold, like someone had said that they sold like 26,000 for 11. The Tokyo Dome for wrestling, according to Meltzer, can hold 53,000. Last year they did about like 8,000 for like sponsor tickets. So basically like the giveaways and, which sponsors aren't really giveaways because it's the people who spend just stupid amounts of money to be able to then pay to take wrestlers to dinner and do all their travel accommodations for them.
And take chops across the chest in the sushi bars.
Masa got killed. They straight up murdered one for a YouTube channel.
Was that the bear?
No, that was Fat Masa. That was one of the sponsors. He would take them to their favorite Japanese restaurant, TGI Fridays. You guys don't watch Being the Elite, do you?
I don't.
You should. It's good. But so like their goal was...
I've got 1% battery. How has it lasted this long?
Because didn't you put it on Super Saver?
Super duper saver.
Because that's literally all it can do is receive texts and not die. Yeah, so they're apparently ahead of their goal because Wrestle Kingdom usually does a lot of just day of, like at the door, ticket sales. So, I mean, this one could top 40,000.
Easily. I mean, this is one of we've said this before on the show that Wrestle Kingdom 12 has the kind of buzz around it that WrestleMania used to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's that one in a lifetime opportunity setup.
Well, when you're talking about getting up at 3 a.m. to watch something.
Right.
Because you're that excited about it. You know, how, I mean, I did get up that time when they had the Japan show on NXT.
Beast and East.
Yeah, I got up for that too, but I mean, this is a little bit different.
I usually go to sleep at 3 a.m. Confirm?
I'm already asleep at that time, so.
Shannon, you should call me. I'm up usually.
Jason, message me on Facebook.
Well, Jason was driving back from Kansas City. He's like, hey, Barry, I'm going to call you later because I know that you're at
and there went the phone.
3 a.m., you're still going to be awake. So he called me and I talked to him all the way back from Kansas City.
Yeah, see, what I do is I take sleeping pills at like 3 a.m. and go, well, this will help put me down. And then I get up at 8 and I go, oh God, I'm still groggy.
It's horrible.
Well, life is horrible.
My wife bought me a 25-pound weighted blanket, and I have a 10-pound weight restriction, so.
My wife told me I need to lose about 25
she's trying
pounds.
To keep me down.
Trying to kill you.
Full of the story. Sorry, Ace.
Buried alive.
Speaking of being hurt, I can segue these things, and this will segue into something else that I really want to talk about. Brian Kendrick suffered a broken nose and orbital bone after Hideo Itami's go to sleep, or as someone on the internet put it, go to surgery.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny. I mean, it's not funny. You know what I'm saying. It's one of those things you shouldn't laugh at, but you kind of do because you
orbital bones get softer as you get older.
Especially after someone just throws a knee at your face.
Do you blame Itami for this?
I mean...
Was he too stiff or just an accident?
Stuff happens. It's that thing where it's like, why doesn't he throw it to the chest? Like, does he feel like he has to top Punk? It's also rough timing that it, like... Because I don't think he did it intentionally.
Right.
I really don't.
And to the forehead you have, if you, accidental concussion, if you... You know what I mean? If you were to strike it.
It's just dangerous.
But it's that thing where he posted on Twitter about, like, I can't wait to show Chicago my go-to-sleep. Because he's the one who invented the move. He is, right. Like, he's, you know, CM Punk.
Took it from him.
They even mentioned that on Raw. They're like, the guy who made it famous.
Yeah.
Before he delivered it.
Because it was, like, that and, like, Daniel Bryan's running knee. Like, those were Kenta's moves in Japan before anyone knew who he was.
Right.
Like, America, like, U.S. WWE audience.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's just that's weird timing that, like, or it's unfortunate coincidence that he would post something like that and then actually hurt the first person he uses it on.
I mean, I think it was a coincidence.
So. Yeah.
Well, but I watched his match with Jack Gallagher on 205 Live the next night, and I know he throws stiff kicks, but Jesus Christ, I didn't know I don't remember Itami being that stiff.
Yeah.
Some of those kicks he laid into Gallagher looked like he was just kicking the shit out of him.
I think a lot of it's at Japanese strong style that you remember what happened to Austin Aries when he had the match with Shinsuke.
Yeah.
He had his face caved in. So, I mean, there's always risk with that, I think. And sometimes those guys maybe don't know how to reel it in, or maybe they just realize that maybe they're like, people in Japanese are tougher than these softs.
Well, and even like, you know, because there isn't its own art, because the other side of strong style is knowing how to be able to absorb those blows and safely be able to receive that kind of offense.
Yeah, and so if that's what you're doing all the time, you're kind of working together
with it.
You assume
that someone else is going to be, the other guy's going to be able to
protect himself.
Otherwise, you're just kicking the other guy's ass. Like, legitimately, you're just kicking his ass.
And then his face is smashed in and they're going to the hospital and they're not.
So Kendrick, I think they said he'll be out 2 months was what I saw today.
I haven't seen anything about like a time frame.
It was right before we went on the air. I looked at like 411. I think they said 2 months. I may be wrong. Mm-hmm. Also, Cody sent us a message via the group chat, and I haven't checked on this, but I want to read what he said. He said Paige injured at a live event, walked out under own power despite a stretcher being brought out.
Yeah, they stopped her match. They brought out a stretcher. She didn't use it, but she did need the doctor's help to walk back. And then they're speculating that it was a shoulder, but it's way too early to know if it's...
Who was she wrestling, does it say? I'm just curious.
It just says injury to Paige at WWE Uniondale.
We'll keep everybody posted on that when we hear more, but that would be super unfortunate for her to come back after a year. She's been on fire, and thank God, because she was that spark, I think, that they really needed to heat up the women's division again after the bad booking and bad storylines of this so-called women's revolution, because Stephanie McMahon can't be there every week to save it.
Right.
You know? That was sarcasm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So is my right.
It looks like it was, she was wrestling Sasha.
Which Sasha, I've never heard injure anybody. So a freak accident is what it is. It's what it is.
She wanted to.
She's little.
Allie's looking at me like, well, you got a problem with women? You don't think women can hurt people?
I don't think that's why she was looking at. Women can definitely hurt people.
I know they can too.
Break your heart.
Some stories.
This is what I really wanted to talk about, because this happened last week before the show and we didn't mention it, and I feel we should. So last week on, was it 205 Live, Asa?
Yeah.
It was on 205 Live. Kalisto was wrestling, and after the match, he's laying on the ground outside. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Some jackass throws a water bottle, which bounces off the mat and hits him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is they eventually, I originally heard that maybe he had a dislocated jaw. There were a ton
concussion
of things.
He had to get stitches.
Yeah.
So he officially got stitches, and
his wife posted something I saw on Twitter.
She was pissed about it.
Yeah.
And she
rightfully
be.
So. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So here's what
I
don't
get. Why are you throwing stuff at Kalisto anyway?
Right.
Yeah. Of all the people, why Kalisto?
Why is he getting the NWO treatment?
Don't throw stuff at wrestlers to like just day one. That's some day one ish.
Yeah.
As lockdown. And two, it's
Kalisto.
Yeah.
You'd think that it was some punk ass bitch.
But what a hell of a bottle thrower, because that's a pretty small damn target. just throw you a prop.
Hey,
back to your anger, though.
Let me segue something. Don't throw bottles at wrestlers, for one. I've seen it personally, right next to Red Daniels.
Oh yeah.
And this little 10-year-old smoked him in his face. And it was awesome.
but you know, there's a difference between a 10-year-old doing it and then going, hey, don't do that. There was a story today that I read that I posted about a bunch of teenagers who threw sandbags over an overpass, which ended up killing a guy. But when you're a grown adult who should know better, which is from all what I understand, this is what happened. And this punk-ass bitch, because he is a punk-ass bitch, and he throws a water bottle at a guy who's laying on the ground.
I missed a bit.
It's so frustrating because you go out to watch these guys and you respect these guys and you say you're a fan and then you show your appreciation for these workers by throwing things at them.
Probably
like, you should know better. They should have pulled in the old days, and I know a lot of old school wrestlers that would say this, they would have pulled his ass out of the crowd and beat the shit out of him. And that's probably what should have happened, because the best that they can do is kick him out of the arena. Good on him. What does that really teach him? There should have been assault charges filed. This kid should go to court over this.
There may be.
I hope so.
I'm curious. I'd like to know more about that. Because
when we first started doing this with CCW, it was, of course, when Hunter was GM. And Hunter was in his feud with Brandon Barbwire. And we stayed out of it because, obviously, we were not a part of the show.
Right.
And at one point, I did post a message to Brandon saying, you know, and kind of jumping in with Hunter, and everyone liked it. But then I said something about, you know,
it was a show and you said you were going to jump the rail on him.
Right. And I was joking, of course. I would never do that. I want to point that out. But Asa, rightfully so, said you shouldn't even say that, because that could inspire someone else to try to do that.
Especially in the state of Missouri.
Right.
That's a big no. They're not, aren't allowed to go out into the crowd as part of the match. And that's kind of like, you know, Billy's even said before to some kids that were, you know, talking. He's like, you want to see what it's about? Just step over the rail, and then I'm not in trouble anymore, and we'll see what happens. And I don't know if that's really true or not, but that's always a bad idea.
But at least
there's a rail there for a reason.
At least
protect you and to protect them.
At least that's you, like, going to the wrestler and getting in his face and saying, hey, you know, F you or whatever.
Right.
But to throw a bottle at a guy who's laying on the ground.
That's just cowardly.
That's
anyway.
A piece of shit. That's what that is. Okay, that's my rant.
I'm throwing a bottle at Lane's face later.
He's not too pretty. Bret Hart, 100% cancer-free.
Yes.
Super happy about that. I've never been the biggest Bret Hart fan because when I was growing up, it was always, who do you like, Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels? And I was a Shawn Michaels guy.
Oh, wait.
Were you not a Shawn Michaels guy?
No, dude, I loved Bret Hart when he was like, when he first became a solo, when the Hart Foundation broke up or Anvil got hurt or whatever.
Who?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. I was always a big Bret Hart fan.
No, he was always great. He just wasn't as good as Shawn Michaels.
I don't want to have this conversation. ask Bret Hart how he feels about it.
But the important thing is that he is cancer-free. And that's awesome. Really that's a good awesome. Thing. That is a very good thing.
Also, just real quick, and I don't know if they listen every week. I know Sarah does, so she'll tell her.
Oh, yes, please.
I didn't know this until she posted it on Twitter, but our friend Celeste had her first chemo treatment today. I didn't even know she'd been diagnosed with cancer.
It was recent, apparently.
Yeah.
Very recent.
And on top of everything that's going on with Robert, everyone at PW and Podzilla, and I know you guys,
and CCW sure.
And
definitely.
Stride, and anyone who has met Celeste and Robert know that they are just the kindest, sweetest people you could ask for.
Absolutely.
And so just all of our love and strength and prayers and thoughts and everything.
Whatever we can offer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Absolutely. Man.
God bless you.
I know that's like kind of a
kick in the teeth, you know?
Yeah, it's just that thing. It's like
a water bottle to the face is what it is.
Because I was at work scrolling through, and I saw the post about how tomorrow is my first day, and I was like, wait, I missed something.
Yeah.
Here, and it's, yeah, so.
So, anything. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know. We mean that.
Yes.
Rey Mysterio, back to the news. Rey Mysterio is open to returning to WWE. I'm sure he. I'm kind of surprised by that.
Because he's the one that just, like, stopped showing up and was like,
I'm cashing their checks.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm not going to cash the checks you're sending me. What are you doing? Are you trying to.
Is he looking at the
notes?
I
can't tell if he's looking at the notes or he's just like, Lane's just leaning over all.
I was trying to get close to you.
Lane, I mean, I'm fine creeping. With that. Just, you gotta let me know.
You should be.
Rey Mysterio is one of the people that was in the WWE.com did the 5 people fans want to see come back to WWE. He was in that list.
And so was John Morrison.
Yeah.
Which is pretty odd.
Which, I mean, they're not wrong.
No,
it's
not just, at all.
It's nice to see them actually acknowledge that, you know, there
I
are.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Rey Mysterio as a surprise entrant. Once again, that's me probably wishing.
Imagine if they. What if they brought him in at number 30? How great would the crowd reaction be for Rey Mysterio to be number 30th? Now, Allie,
instead of Daniel Bryan?
Look at the minis doing.
You may not remember this, but the year that Daniel Bryan, everyone needed him to win the Royal Rumble for WrestleMania 30, everyone knew, okay, he's not in yet. Okay, he's not in yet. The match kept going. People were getting more and more uncomfortable. He's not in yet. Number 30. They're doing it. Daniel Bryan's going to be number 30. He's going to win it.
Crowd's yesing.
The crowd is just full on yesing for the countdown. Timer buzzer goes off. Booyaka booyaka 619.
Boo!
Like,
Yaka.
The just drowning him out. Like, you had to know that they did that on purpose to see, like, well, they're not going to boo Rey Mysterio.
And what's really bad?
They were wrong.
I felt so bad for Rey, who had to go out and pretend like he was getting cheered.
Yep.
To go out and play to the crowd, and knowing he's getting booed out of the building.
And I can say personally that he is super, super
short.
Awesome, nice. Oh, and sure, yeah. Rollins is always Rollins' favorite wrestler, and he got to meet him, and he was so cool. Spent extra time with him, and there was like 1,000 people in line. Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys where you don't
he didn't deserve that.
You don't hear a bad story about it. I mean, it's the same thing with like it's that thing where it's like Roman Reigns getting cheered whenever it was down because it was just like anyone but Batista.
Yeah.
Like that was and then they love him. It's just you gotta read the room. And Rey Mysterio did not deserve that, but
Rusev, when they didn't want it to be Roman.
Yeah.
Remember when they cheered Rusev like he was the biggest face and
also
now.
We totally glanced over it, but like with talking about the Rusev Day shirts being on back order. But I know, and granted, the last couple nights they were in Chicago, so that's kind of a slant. But just the reactions that Rusev Day has been getting are, they make my heart so happy.
And they make Rusev happy.
And to see him just visibly, like, pumping along to it.
This is the best thing they've done with Rusev since they debuted him with Lana. It really is. And I've always said.
Do you watch Total Divas?
No!
I'm sorry.
No, dog.
Okay, my wife does, and I kind of watch it with her. So.
This Maridel person.
She's real. She exists. Rusev is like the most awesome human being in the world.
Ace,
on that show even, you're just like, he's like, doesn't care about anything, and he's just so peaceful and just wants to laugh and.
Do you watch Ride Along when they do them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The one where him and Lana, where someone's like, oh, what's the most interesting place you've made Whoopi? What is Whoopi? And so she's like, it's like sex. Wait, so her name is Sex Goldberg?
That reminds me of the time of
Let's not show his natural charisma on the air.
Him on Up Up Down Down for the FIFA tournament last year.
Oh, that was excellent.
Where you had, no, okay, it's Tong Po. No, that's not my nickname anymore. What's your nickname? Roman Reigns. What? No one beats Roman Reigns.
Just speaking of Tong Po, is this thing that he does? That's
he did the shaky arm thing.
But Tong Po didn't. Jean-Claude Van Damme's arch nemesis in Bloodsport, the movie that preceded the one with Tong Po. Rusev is inspired by the bad guys from the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, I believe.
There's an Up, Up, Down, Down where he actually gets to meet Tong Po. And like they totally surprise him with it. And just the joy on his face when he realizes who it is and like what's going on. He is just that naturally. The League of Nations promo, where he's talking about the Royal Rumble and how he has to throw kids off the bus just so he could get to school. And Wade Barrett is just dying. Like, he's not even trying to hide the fact that he can't keep a straight face. Like, him just slapping everybody just way too hard. He's a magical human.
When a man starts telling stories about people and you don't even know what he's talking about, that's when you know it's true.
He's a national treasure, and it's time we made him our national treasure. Rusev Day to all.
Merry Rusev Day.
Merry Rusev Day, everyone.
Other great news. Sami Zayn has raised over $10,000 for his Sammy for Syria campaign.
In one day.
Congrats.
Wow.
Yeah, he just on Christmas, he was just like, you know what? It's giving time of year. For every donation that's made to up to $5,000, I will match it. So they raised it. So it was more than $10,000, but...
He's done some great work for that.
Yeah.
Great work.
Which is, and for those who don't know, the Sammy for Syria is a program that is providing mobile medical clinics to the people who are trapped in the civil war of Syria.
And I hope that continues. Not the civil war, but the good stuff. Sorry. I legitimately meant that, too, because I didn't want anyone to think I was trying to be a dick. Let's go to the opposite of the way, from someone raising $10,000 to someone selling $105 million worth of WWE stock to fund Alpha Entertainment, which, from what we understand, is Vince McMahon getting ready to relaunch a football league.
Yeah.
That probably. Damn documentary.
Give him the itch.
30 for 30 did all of this.
That was his takeaway.
Wait, the ratings were up for it, damn it. And then that was my Vince McMahon, by the way.
It was better. I didn't even know it was Vince.
I still don't think it's going to be XFL. I don't think he's going to try to bring back the XFL. I do think he will try to do something with the UFL. And it may not be they've said like Vince is very interested in doing sports and entertainment.
You mean like have a team like KISS had a team in LA one time or something? Maybe have
a whole league. The whole league.
But do like a UFL league.
Do you really not think that Vince McMahon isn't so arrogant that he believes he can bring XFL back and make it work?
I mean,
because I truly believe that he could do that.
I think he could make money off of it for 1 year. And that's really what it is. It's almost like he'd be willing to do it, bring it back for a year, make money, fold it up.
I mean, he's arrogant, but he's not a bad business person.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I mean,
I disagree in a way. Like, you and I both know, everyone at this table knows, Vince McMahon isn't a bad business person, okay? But he's not a great one. You had a money feud, and I know I'm just saying what everyone's already said. You had a money feud when he bought WCW. You had the rights to all of these great characters. You had this long history between the two. And what do? You run WCW into the ground. You run ECW into the ground just so you can get the proverbial, I got the victory. You could have stretched that out for months, years. There could have been a legitimate war for the first time in wrestling history. But Vince McMahon chose his ego over what was best for business.
And again, I'm not saying that he's not made terrible decisions, because he has. But when you look at the long, like, from when he took over, from him like shutting down the territories and getting the business out from under his dad, like the list of business decisions that he's made, yeah, he's had missteps. Some of them have been terrible like that, and then some smaller ones too. But you can't argue the fact that WWE is now posting the best quarter. They just had their best quarter they've ever had. Like, the business is up. And granted, that's not just, you know, he has a board of directors. He has people that he's answering to, his shareholders and all of that. Like, it's not just him. But, I mean, he's smart. He knows what he's doing for the most part.
And
he just doesn't remember where he left his car keys. And
he doesn't have to. He's rich
enough.
Shoes. You think he drives his own car?
What day of the week it is.
Right, he'll just buy another one.
But again, it's that thing.
Your rich mother, Allie?
Okay. I'm not saying that it's impossible that XFL is coming out, like, is coming back.
I hope not.
But I don't think
because it feels like that's a dead brand, right?
Especially after you just spoke about how terrible the XFL was. Unless it's a thing where he's like, you know what, I've learned from. Yeah, I'm not going to try to incentivize the cheerleaders to date the players.
I heard he hate me's in pretty good shape.
He probably is.
So it's just that, yeah, you, I, like I said, I don't think it's coming back. It could. I think it is going to be more for the UFL. But if he's so damned determined to get into football, why doesn't he just buy a team?
Yeah.
Which I know that's, you know, that's easier said than done.
Right.
But with the money that he's pulling out of WWE to do,
$105 million,
this
worth
very
stock.
Much seems like, yeah,
and that's
know,
why I was saying earlier, Alpha, I wonder if that's actually what he's doing, and it's just getting misconstrued that he's going to start back the XFL. But maybe he's interested in buying a team.
Are the Raiders doing that good? I don't, like, that just, I don't follow football at all.
Not
so
as good,
like,
as the Rams.
Ugh. I mean, could he make his own team? Like, could he create it? Could the NFL adopt a new team?
Jesse,
like
an expansion team or something? Cody.
Yeah, let us know, because I really wonder how that works. Because from the time that I stopped watching, like, hockey, and then when Jordan started coming around and I became friends with him, he was telling me about these teams that I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, would they add new teams?
Well, and they do expansions. They move them and rename them and
they
stuff.
They do them?
Do. That means poopy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is his birthday.
All right, we're almost out of time, so let's get to the last things we have here on the list, which is we're going to go over Raw and SmackDown real quick. So a couple important things happened. We mentioned earlier that Rollins and Jordan won the tag titles, mm-hmm. which I think is partly because of Sheamus. You know, they want to get the title off him if he is injured.
See, and it's that thing where it's like, if they caught it early enough, I'm sure he'll be fine. Like, he could have a couple more years. Yeah, we want the best for him. I think this is more of the reaction to Ambrose being hurt, because now you have Jordan just stepping into Ambrose's place. You have Rollins finding a new tag team partner the week after Ambrose is injured, and he wins the titles with someone else. Because they've been, like, there's the rumored Mania match of Rollins versus Ambrose, where Ambrose turns.
Wait, is the Shield reunion dead already?
I mean,
well, when a dude's out for 9 months,
this
you kind of put the damper on.
Which, wait until 2018, they'll, you know, it'll
okay,
be fine.
So I didn't see Raw. So with the Jordan thing, I did see the match, because we watched some clips of it, Allie. Did they at least keep the Jordan angle going where he's a whiny bitch?
Yeah, he was like, I was in the tag team already, Dad, and the reason I came over here is because we're going to start focusing on my singles career. And so that's when he was like, well, I think this is what's best for tonight, and you need to work with him. And Seth Rollins like, whoa, wait a minute, you think working with me is a step back, kid? You know, you'll never be Dean Ambrose.
So
that kind of stuff. So he's still being the whiny kid.
So this could go on.
They could
keep this going.
Yeah. They can easily transition this back into another angle if they need to.
Good, they should, because that's a great angle. Because,
like, I don't see Ambrose making WrestleMania, even if the 5 to 6 months is more believable. Like, Mania is what, April, usually May? I don't know what this year's is.
It's
April.
Late May, early April.
It's usually April.
I think it's like the first weekend in April.
So he's more than likely going to miss Mania, which sucks. But, you know, they could, if they're not going to do Jason Jordan versus Angle, or, you know, or Triple H, or wherever direction they were going to go, Rollins versus Jordan could be that kind of placeholder.
The bridge.
The replacement.
Yeah. And Jordan, I think, by that time, if they keep up the momentum, because he's got some good momentum going, I think that could be a match I'd want to see.
Jordan is a great wrestler.
Yeah.
And he's finally catching, like, the character that they're letting him be, as opposed to just, like, pure, like, white meat, just, I'm Kurt Angle's son, love me. Like the Rocky Maivia, now he can finally be.
Don't stop smiling.
His own, yeah. But now he can be that. Oh, come on, Dad. Like, he only calls him Dad whenever he wants something.
Speaking of picking up steam, nice segue from him to his former partner over on SmackDown. Chad Gable has looked like a monster the last 2 weeks.
Here's
that wasn't
the thing.
Segue we were doing.
Look at
it is now.
Look at the tag team division of Raw and SmackDown, and tell me which show is written by one half of the
greatest tag teams of all time.
Most well-known tag teams of all time.
Yeah, so SmackDown, that's a good point. Gable and Benjamin are the number one contenders, which I'm fine with, but I really feel like they're missing an opportunity with Rusev Day. I really do. That seems to be what happens with WWE. They have a hot thing, and they don't chase it.
They're doing the thing where
I would rather that use that as him being Rusev's, like, escort. Not escort, like escort.
You want him to be his valet?
Yeah. You know, I don't like the – I don't
but
know.
But Aiden English is a great wrestler.
Aiden English is good. I mean, it's – they're doing the thing where they still want them to, it looks like they still want them to feud with the New Day, which, no, just let, like, yeah,
steer into the curb.
Steer into the skid.
So, remember, Vince McMahon, he was on the Stone Cold podcast, the first one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm a pretty good listener. I listen to what the fans want. Mm-hmm. You don't. Because if you did, you would stop.
You gotta grab the brass ring.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's the Cody Rhodes thing where it's like, no, you're allowed, you can grab the brass ring when we want you to.
Right. And with Rusev, like, I don't know if they want him to be a good guy or not, because they present him as a face, kind of, but also he's feuding with the New Day. New Day are definitely faces.
Mm-hmm.
Just let Rusev be popular. Like, imagine if Stone Cold had been the ringmaster, and he got over as Stone Cold, right? But Vince said, well, even though he's popular with the crowd, I'm going to keep going with my vision. what would have happened to wrestling history? You never know with these guys. If you have something hot, give them a chance. It may not work, but it might. And if it does, that's how you get the big stars. You know what I mean? Like, if they had kept Rocky Maivia as smiling Rocky Maivia his entire career, we would have never had The Rock. Yeah. If you would have kept The Undertaker as Mean Mark Calloway, we would have never had one of the most iconic characters in wrestling history. So let Rusev, if he wants, if they want to cheer him, let him be Rusev.
Which, and granted, like...
I think we need, in just that same mindset in the indie scene is important as well. That you have to be able to be flexible and kind of go with what the crowd, where the crowd's steering you at times.
I agree. Because the crowd should choose Asa.
Yes.
They should choose Asa?
They should just, no, they should choose Rusev.
I know they wanted Dalton to leave, but I didn't know they chose Asa.
They did choose Rusev.
That's why we keep Dalton around, is to make me feel better about myself. They can direct all of the, like, anger and hatred to Dalton and just, like, protect me. Shannon can be the face. I can just be, like, I'm just.
Oh, no, you're the face. Everybody saw that CCW Live video.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I'm the voice. Remember when I said I was the voice of CCW? Anyway.
You are now technically, for real.
One fourth of.
One other thing from SmackDown that I'm actually, like, I like what they're doing. It feels like it's going on too long. Like, I really hope
it's only 2 hours.
I really hope they're not stretching this to WrestleMania. Is the Brian Shane thing. Like, there's only so much of that I can before I'm like, I don't care anymore. AJ and Owens had a feud already and it wasn't great. So I'm hoping this is their chance to be like, no, we can do better. We're going to do better. Cause you look at both of those guys and you're like, that should be a 5-star match easy. And it was just kind of there.
Right.
Granted, a lot of it was the Shane, the referee stuff, so it's not quite entirely their fault.
It was like the match was almost secondary to the angle.
If you listen to Kevin Owens talking about it in that 365 thing that he did on the network, like, he wasn't happy with that feud at all.
No.
So hopefully they can do more. But the thing that I'm really excited about is with the, less so with the tournament that they're doing, but with the vacant U.S. title and Ziggler just walking away. Like, that's interesting to me. Like, that's, okay, let's see what, cause now they're actually acknowledging, okay, well, he's not answering calls, we're assuming he's vacating the title, so.
Do you think this is good for him long term, though?
It's the same thing with Rusev Day. Like, it's easy to make our snap decisions and seeing, like, what they're doing, as opposed to, like, what they're doing now, as well as what they're gonna be doing the next 3 weeks. So, I think it could be. I think it's actually really interesting, like, if they do a whole, what they did with Cena, Punk, and Mysterio, where, okay, well, our champion, we don't have a champion, so we're going to name a new one, and then Ziggler comes back. No, I am the champion.
Mm. Maybe with his own belt.
People are speculating he's going to be the one to win the Rumble.
He has to defend it within 30 days, technically. You know what I mean? So he can always come back and say, just because I laid it down in the ring, you know.
And
I've been coming out to different music for months. Come on, Marks.
That's the thing that I hate, though, is like, because they have that 30-day rule.
When it's convenient.
When it's convenient. Right. It's the same thing that I've talked about with like
some other indie company has like a 90-day rule.
Well, not even that. Like,
sometimes it's a 91.
It's just media.
When it's convenient. Yeah.
Doctor Who, Star Wars, like, I will accept any universe. Like, if you tell me that only redheaded people lose, like, if a redheaded person loses every fight they're in and blue-eyed people can fly, I'm not going to question that. If you show me that, I'm not going to question it. I can accept that. But if you show me a redheaded person win a fight and you don't acknowledge it, you are breaking your own rule. You're breaking your own law of your universe. And that drives me up the wall.
On SmackDown, I don't remember the exact context of it, but I remember hearing it and going, oh, bullshit. Shane McMahon specifically said, why don't you make it Rude versus Baron Corbin? Baron Corbin never got his rematch. You're guaranteed a rematch when you lose the title. And I thought, Kevin Owens didn't get a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor didn't get a rematch. Like, you can't change the rules constantly.
And you can, and I, like, it's honestly,
bad writing.
You can change them, but you have to acknowledge them.
Okay.
Like, that's what I'm looking for.
Almost like, we made mistakes in the past. Look, this is something we need to stop doing. Too many times we've let people go and not get the rematches. This is how business is handled.
Right. Just some, like,
a line.
And I don't know if I'm looking, like, if I'm looking for too much or, like, we make.
You are, because they want to pretend that what happened last week no one remembers.
Right.
And you only know what's happening right now.
And like, I don't need to be Mac in It's Always Sunny, where he's talking about, like, okay, yeah, but you really have to say, oh, yeah, so now we're going to stop him because he killed my daughter and I don't like him. So we got to stop him from killing other people.
You don't need too much exposition.
Like, I don't need a crazy amount of exposition, but, like, I need a little bit of something to show me that you're paying attention to your own story.
Because they hire people to go into rooms and write these things out. They have writers. And if your writers can't keep up with their own stories that they are writing, You need new writers, or you need someone in charge who goes, maybe we should make this a thing.
The latest Kinda Funny Games cast, I can't remember the guys, it's John Carlisle, maybe? I don't remember. But he worked for WWE for like 6 years, something like that, as a writer. And he talks about just like, people will come up and be like, he tells the story, JBL took a picture, saved his phone number, his contact, and said, I can't wait to delete this picture and your contact in a month. Dusty Rhodes told him, I give you 2 weeks. Just like it, they go through so many, or was Gamescast at all?
Jeez,
which one? Game Over Greggy.
That's rough.
It was the Game Over Greggy show, with John Carl, who was a writer for WWE for years, and he's just like, yeah, no, they like it's. He did stuff with the independent scene, and like he was involved in wrestling before, but they don't always just go for Joe Schmo, who is a fan of wrestling and who thinks they can tell a good wrestling story. They hire Hollywood TV writers to come in day, and granted, you're writing by committee, which can always be difficult, and then you're answering ultimately to Vince McMahon. And if Vince isn't on board with what you're pitching, it's just not gonna happen, whether or not it doesn't matter if the show starts in 3 hours. Like, you're gonna have to come up with something else.
And they used to, notoriously, WCW used to change the writing on the fly. The day of the show, people would get there and be told one thing and then told something else 20 minutes later.
Yeah, well, I've heard the same thing about Raw. They show up and then like an hour before the show, they scrap the whole script and they have an hour to come up with.
Yeah.
As the show is going on, actually, the third hour, they may be in the second hour trying to rewrite the third hour.
Mm-hmm. And the pressure of that has to be, I mean, cause, sometimes we'll plan out shows in a week in advance. And sometimes trying to do a week in advance is like, oh man, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to cover? Now try doing an entire 3 hour live show in 20 minutes.
Every single week, yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, I give them, I respect them and I feel bad for them at the same time, but like, maybe the point isn't that they should be able to do that. Maybe you should maybe do it differently. It's not that they should be able to work in that environment. Maybe change the environment and you'll make the product better.
But giving them a few months off.
I'm crazy.
See,
bringing it all the way back home, give them a few months and an off season.
And it goes to that thing, like,
solve all the problems.
If they see Rusev Day getting these reactions, but the plan is for Rusev Day to feud with the New Day, and the New Day are supposed to be, the good guys, well, crap, scrap. They're put in a very difficult position. It's so easy to be, oh, well, what are they doing? Like, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. That's so stupid. But, like, we're not there. We don't know that kind of pressure to have to write that kind of TV. Like, yeah, granted, that doesn't mean we can't call them out for, like, mistakes they're making. But, yeah, that... I don't envy that job.
Not at all. Like, I wouldn't want to do it. I remember Patrice O'Neal was writing for WWE for many years, or for a little while. It was like a year.
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't think it was very long.
Oh my God. Hearing him talk about the frustrations, like, I miss that man. God bless his soul. We got two more things to talk about really quick. We got to get out of here. Reigns and Joe. So I know that they had a match and that Reigns kicked his ass so much he got DQ'd.
Yeah. I like that. Like, he talks about, you hurt my brother, I hurt you. Just
makes sense.
Yeah,
that's a good direction for.
He shoved the referee.
Yeah, that's what it was. He shoved the referee. And
WWE
got fined.
Says he got fined like $5,000 or something,
which he said worth every penny.
Right. Which
that's good.
Yes,
wipe
that
him
should
with
be 50s. Roman Reigns.
I think he said hashtag wipe him with 50s.
I can't believe anybody would ever shove a referee.
That really it is despicable. Like who would ever put their hands on a referee?
It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart.
Come here. Have you taken a bump in CCW? I know you haven't tried. Have you?
Now in CCW, I have to be licensed as a wrestler to receive a bump.
State of Missouri. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So
they can't pocket sand you.
Same with like Odell. As bad as you might want to see him get choke slammed or
okay,
something.
Okay. So when Matt Hardy grabbed Odell and Brandon and noggin knocked him, was that just a hey, no one's paying attention type
that
thing? Don't answer the question.
No, I don't mind. I'm sure the Missouri State Athletic Commission doesn't listen to this.
They're big fans.
I'm sure Ken Murphy would be more than happy to answer any questions. I think dude was probably taking a smoke break when that happened.
Some are more stickler than others.
Yeah.
The dude in Delta when Brandon was bleeding.
Yeah.
So going in, this was the guy, we haven't had him since last year in Delta. Well, last year in Delta, I was sitting next to you guys.
That's when we met.
Yeah. Yeah.
Officially for time.
It was actually Chaffee's show we met for the first time. The October show.
I get Chaffee and Delta mixed up every time.
So I'm standing next to him and I didn't even realize Brandon was bleeding. And, somebody walks by and says, Brandon's bleeding. And so the commissioner looks at me. He's like, they saying the wrestler? I was like, dude, I don't see it. And then he looked at it and he goes, oh man, I've seen it worse than that. Well, I said, yeah, you can definitely tell that was incidental.
Right.
And he was cool with it, but everyone was like, like Jason, I think even mentioned on the podcast.
He
was
like,
I was trying to get him out of the ring.
I immediately was told, go to the ring, get him out of the
ring.
Yeah, because Jason pulled me aside. He was like, tell Austin, get him out of there.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Lane, get him out of there. And you like nodded at me and then walked away. And I was like,
well, it's because you don't, you know, in Missouri, we're not allowed. And, yeah. And that's where
Blood will shut down an entire show. It won't just end a match.
And that's where also, in hindsight, what we need to do is take incidences like that and segue to CCW for just a second and realize we need to be prepared for those instances. Provide our referees with things where if someone is bleeding, they can stop the match long enough. You know what I mean? Like what happens, like when Samoa Joe and
gloves
Finn Balor
and stuff, yeah.
Something to protect them. And that way, at least the commission realizes we're doing our due diligence to make sure that we're putting, it's under control and it's not something, it was incidental and not part of our planned show.
So.
Super glue. Would
also,
work
you
as well.
Can put peanut butter in like Brandon's mouth. Make him look like he's talking.
It's true. And there's this lady named Meridel. She's a registered nurse. She's at a lot of the shows and helps with some things.
So you have this listed. Do you want last thing before we get out of here? Cena versus
it was a neat thing. I liked.
I thought it was great.
I liked when Elias said when the crowd was chanting CM Punk and he was just like, yeah, he's definitely not going to interrupt me. and then WWE. Walk with Elias.
Yes, I thought it was great. We were talking about that earlier, and I was like, the fact that Elias. You know, a new guy probably afraid to address, you know, the big elephant in the room.
The C Nation?
Yeah. So then when he addressed it, I was watching John Cena's reaction. John Cena was like he was kind of impressed with,
And then somewhere in the back, Roman Reigns hung his head and walked away.
Charlie Brown music played.
So am I the only one who thinks Elias Samson looks like if Randy Savage and Cactus Jack had a love child?
Yes.
It's a little bit. It's the same. It was like Randy Savage and Seth Rollins.
I was thinking Randy Savage and Damian Sandow.
My wife said Seth Rollins and Damian Sandow. So maybe if all four of them just had a big get together and then he popped out.
I think they already did. Like I've been
a Conan episode of If They Made It.
I've been a fan of Elias since NXT. It's amazing how much Corey Graves' hatred of Elias Samson just adds to that character. Corey Graves' last NXT show, whenever they do that, the video package for him and it's really touching and he's standing there and he's thanking everybody and then then his music starts to play and he just walks out and he turns like on the stage and just kind of waves to Corey. Because it's that kind of continuity that I love because when you do
it, little winks and nods
when you do
for the people that have been paying attention
exactly when you do it well, it adds so much. Just that idea of course he will go back and watch his matches and he hears Corey saying these things.
Yeah,
like it's
my favorite continuity in WWE is the way Booker T sucks every week. Thanks, Book.
Is it your favorite?
There's certain words that he says. How do?
Shuck a duck a quack quack.
There's some.
Ah, dog.
Certain letters he starts with, and it's always. I wish. Never mind.
Well, let me tell you.
Him like running down the number one contender, even though it's like, no, they won the match to like
sweet.
Earn his championship.
He says sweet.
Him saying that Jason Jordan's never done anything to earn a spot in wrestling, and them going, he was tag team champion.
Yeah, that exactly.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
It's
I'm going to sound like the dog from Sesame Street if I keep going, so go.
It's the difference
Muppets.
Between that and Corey,
kind of how you sound.
Who is insulting him, but he's also kind of putting over the character.
Right.
Like, it's that thing where.
Like we do with Dalton. Where we insult Dalton, but we're also putting him over, right?
Yeah,
it took him a while to get that, I think.
All right, we got to get out of here. We got to go.
Sorry we didn't talk to you more, Lane.
Lane talked more than Jackson Crowley.
That's okay.
Well, I wanted to do more. Like, I wanted to talk about, like, ref stuff. We'll do a PW
Presents. We got time. You want to do it? Well, screw it. We own the network.
I mean, we can.
Let's just do it. We got Lane here. My God, he lives in freaking Ponyville, so.
There might be some of that you want to edit
Ponyville.
Out anyway.
No.
Like, things that.
No.
We're keeping it all.
We're just glancing over Ponyville.
Because I'm also curious. We've never had a ref on the show. We've had wrestlers, and they've told us the inside stuff, but we've never had a ref.
Well, because, it's that thing, like, the PW Presents, the whole idea behind that is just, like, I like talking about wrestling to people.
Right.
And, like.
Who are in the business and
pick
their
brain. Not even in the business, just, like, I like hearing, like, perspectives, like, what people like about wrestling, like, so, just, and so the idea of refereeing, like, the big question that I wanted to ask, and that I kind of asked you beforehand is it's, like, so you get a lot of crap. Like hands down, you get the most crap from any referee that from fans.
Yes. If CCW fans think that Lane gets crap from them, and in no way am I trying to promote another promotion. But if you
talk about Stride all the time.
Stride is amazing. You should go to Marion and watch Stride every time.
I'm not gonna say I don't go, but what I'm saying is that he catches it
Yeah.
At Stride. There's one dude in particular that hates you.
Cause like, cause CeeLo's pretty well beloved, like, by the crowd. Like, people love CeeLo. Kelly, who, it's kind of the same, like, you guys probably do about the same amount of, like, being involved in shenanigans. That's probably not true. Like, Kelly probably gets it. But when Kelly gets it, people are like, oh no, it's okay, Kelly.
It's Kelly. Exactly.
But it's Kelly. So it's like, there's just something about
when Lane doesn't catch really a whole lot of junk from the fans at CCW, but he gets put in positions to where it's like,
I think he gets a lot of crap from, like, being in the crowd.
Yeah. And hearing this.
And I'm not saying that I'm not guilty of, like, giving stuff Yuri, but is it ever difficult to kind of not take that personally when people are like, you don't know how to count it? Like, just the constant, cause it is constant. And I, like, the more we're talking, the worse I feel for you. But just like that, because it's not, you know, everyone knows, like, you have to pretend to be totally incompetent.
That's the t-shirt. See, Lane Austin, you can count on me.
See, and you're never going to get over, is the thing. You're never going to get through.
Here's the thing. It's changed since I've started ref, and I really understand what being a referee in professional wrestling is all about. I go in there. My job is to put the wrestler over. You know what I'm saying? To put them over, to not take their shine, to not take any of the attention. If there's a spot, yeah, pay attention to me. But besides that, I'm not even supposed. Like in WWE, do you even really notice that ref?
Well, that's like we talked earlier to who remembers who the ref was in the match. That's
the thing. It's like, and I catch so much shit. You know, I'm going to cuss because I'm passionate.
We say shit all the time.
Shit.
It's in the Bible.
Damn it.
Okay. I'm passionate about what I do, right? So now the general consensus of what a referee is they're blind. Mm-hmm. They're deaf.
Can't count.
They can't count. You know,
get distracted easily.
They're incompetent. They're this, they're that.
You take one small push and you're down for 30 minutes.
Exactly. Now that's the thing. Like, I'm not a frail referee. I'm supposed to be ashamed that I'm supposed to be ashamed that I'm in shape. No, I'm not. I work my ass off. You know what I'm saying? So I catch a lot of flack from like the other workers and that's cool. You know, it's not my fault. Like, and this is the truth. I'm in better shape than 75% of the wrestlers.
Pipe bomb.
We
know, we see it, Lane.
No, I'm just saying, but like, do I have a problem with like thinking that people think that?
And you're not trying to show them up by doing it.
Exactly. Just... It's like, I'm okay with that. Hate me. That's fine. I am the freaking Nick Patrick of CCW or Stride. That's fine.
Well, okay. Can I just point out real quick that you asked him, what's it like to get the crap from the fans and all that? He spun that into, I ain't ashamed to look better than the wrestlers. I don't understand.
He's trying to tell the fans, hey, take a look at me. Should you be booing me?
Hey.
Well, a guy who looks like that.
Right.
He basically just did the Eric Andre thing of, I work out, compliment me.
Yeah. Are you 420 friendly? Hey,
how do you feel about pretzels?
That's the second.
That's the only
thing Alex
she said the whole time. And that's great. That's freaking great. Do I care to get booed? Like, does it bug me? No.
So, like, we're known on this show to get involved in, like, stuff. Like, we say things and we talk about things that could be considered controversial, get us in trouble. We talk about them anyway, because this is pro wrestling unscripted.
I warned you about this. Whatever's about to happen, I don't know, but I warned you about this.
What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
No. We're gonna talk.
I can't eat ice cream. I'm diabetic.
God damn it. let's talk seriously about it. The night that Hunter quit CCW, we talked because you were upset with the way it ended, because it was one of those situations where something happened that was off script and it was an accident, and you looked bad and Hunter felt bad and it was a whole thing. In a situation like that where it's not your fault, you kind of have to go along with it. Does that get to you? Or have you just gotten better over time?
I mean, I've gotten better over time, but truthfully that night I was upset because I looked like I genuinely looked incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Like seriously, like it was supposed to go a certain way, and it was botched. And I'm the one that looks stupid. But out of the whole scenario, I would rather look stupid than one of the wrestlers.
Right.
So I mean, did I like it? No. Did it piss me off? Yes, very much so.
But you don't mind taking the hits.
No, I mean, I think that
Well, earlier we were talking about this at dinner, actually, this very thing. And he said it's almost like a learning process. If he could go back in time and have that same moment again, he would understand how to handle it differently. Hmm. I think, you know, and the wrestlers do a lot of the same things when they're in the ring, and you have to do things on, because it's live. Dude. Well,
That's kind of part of the role of a referee, isn't it, too, to be able to kind of, because you are helping guide the story.
Directing traffic.
Like, you're not, you know.
We're communicating in there the whole time. We're communicating. And, like, when the lack of communication starts, that's when someone's supposed to be able to take the incentive to, okay, how am I going to do this if this happens? And, you know, I learned from that. So if a situation ever like that happened again, I know what I'm going to do, because I don't want to look a jackass ever again like that, really.
And plus, I think in fairness, I think it needs to be mentioned that Brandon, all things being considered, Brandon did what he felt like in the moment was best to cover for whatever happened. You know, he wasn't trying to bury Lane or Hunter. He was trying to make, you know, the old saying, he was trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
I think everyone's...
No one's pointing an accusation.
Absolutely not.
And
I just wanted,
that was done,
I wanted to
done.
Mention that because I know that, you know, Brandon's a big fan of the show as well, and I wanted to
make
sure...
And we're a big
sure
fan
that,
of Brandon.
Yeah, it wasn't done, like, maliciously. Like, he didn't go out of his way to,
no, he was covering.
He didn't want to embarrass you. He didn't want to embarrass Hunter. Like, he didn't want
to
embarrass anybody.
He was trying to salvage the angle.
He was just trying to say, like, he knew something went wrong, and he was just trying to...
I mean, I knew what was going on, what he was doing. I mean, I understood.
Just in the moment, it's still easy to just be like, that's...
Yeah.
At the time, I was upset because I didn't know how to come back from that as far as looking like a legitimate, like I'm not on somebody's side
or
something like that. But, I mean, it all...
Were you really paid off? Or you really... Yeah.
Thankfully, they took the WWE approach and just assumed no one would remember. And they wouldn't if Brandon didn't bring it up all the time. So...
who brought up the conversation?
So I
thought it was handled
and
well.
And I've been meaning to ask, too, like, are you starting to do more? Because, like, you're posting videos about, like, doing the diving headbutts. Is that just something you're kind of doing for fun? Or
I'm really attempting to – I want to know everything there is to know about wrestling. Like, so maybe one day I might do that, you know, make the switch. Because, I mean, I have the itch to do it. I mean, I've loved wrestling since I was a kid. But I love refereeing. I love being a referee. I'm just trying to learn more and – we'll see what happens.
Is that what you kind of like? Was that your goal? Was to be a referee, or did you kind of start wanting to be a wrestler?
Yeah, that's the question I was going to ask. Is like, what made you want to do refereeing instead of wrestling?
The story is, Heath called me one night. This is about 3 years ago. Said this was another promotion. It wasn't Stride. It wasn't CCW, of course. It was another promotion that I won't mention. But
you can.
It's okay. I'm not going to give them the time of day. Anyway.
Oh snap.
He said, "Hey, we need a referee tonight, and I know you love wrestling. I think you could do it. I think you'd be a good fit. You want to try it?" And of course, I want to say, "No." I said, "Yeah." I showed some balls. I was like, "Okay, it's fine. Let's do it." So I ref the show.
Is that what they made you do as a prerequisite before they let you referee? You had to show some balls.
Yeah, you keep talking like that. I won't play with yours later. So, basically, the promoter came in to me afterwards and was like, "Hey, how long you been reffing for?" And I looked at my wrist and said, "Hey, about 2 hours." And he was like, "You know, no crap. I'd like to have you back." And that's where it started. So
this is now the second time that we've talked to someone that is associated with Heath Hatton, where I have assumed they have been doing it for way longer.
Yeah.
I would have guessed you had been doing this for way longer than 2 years, and it was the same thing with T-Dog.
Yeah.
Like, when Dalton and I were going to do that PW Presents with him before the Pinckneyville show, we were both under the assumption that he'd been doing this for, like, 10 years. He was like, "Yeah, it started, like, 2-3 years ago." It's like, how? Because for a referee, for, like, what you do, where it's that, you know, see, not hurt, like, you're out of sight, you try to stay out of the things, but you're still able to believably portray that incompetence in the sense that Whenever you're chastising a tag, like one of the tag, like someone else in the
those
corner.
Are my favorite matches. The where I see everything that the good guy does and don't see nothing what the heel does and the crowd gets pissed. I love that more than anything.
Let me just point out, as a child, the thing I hated most about wrestling was tag matches where the referee didn't see the bad guys do. Oh god,
it's
or the
it's doing
person gets on the apron, and that's the person that the referee's focused on. That's not even in the match.
Right. The referee pushes him back, and then the bad guys work over the good
guy. It's kind of like
you got me.
It's kind of like a heel. I mean, seriously, like I'm taking away what you want to see. I'm not trying to, but like that's I'm pissing you off.
Right.
I'm pissing you off.
What do you think about? And I'm not talking about CeeLo here. I swear I'm not. Because I understand what CeeLo does. No, this isn't even a shot. I understand what CeeLo does. CeeLo's entertaining.
He is.
He's an entertaining referee.
He's very entertaining.
And he doesn't take part in the storylines. What he does is when he gets in the ring, he just makes sure that he's entertaining while he's there. And I like that. Like, I respect that. What do you feel about referees, though, as a part of the storyline? Like Nick Patrick, Earl Hebner, Dave Hebner, stuff like that. Are you a fan of refs being involved, or do you really wish refs were that neutral, unbiased part of professional wrestling?
I think my opinion's changed over time, what I found refereeing's all about. If you would ask me when I first started to be a part of the story, hell yes, I would have loved it. And now that I see what a ref is, I really don't want to be. Like, I really don't want to be. that's... If it fits, I mean, if it goes along with it, you know, but like wrestling's changed, like, I just don't, I'm trying to model myself after what I see, like the show, the WWE, where you want the pinnacle, where you want to be at. And
every time
the thing, I think I do a pretty good job of that anymore. I think as far as, you know, CCW, like, I may not be entertaining, but I do my job, not what I think is right. So, well,
and that's what I think you're damn
entertaining. What should I do? A push up between every count?
Yes.
We actually had this conversation. I said, would it kill a brother to do a push up instead of slapping your hands? 3 push ups and the match is over. I mean, get your own gimmick.
Or why not?
But we joked about
ref.
Yeah,
sleeveless ref.
But he takes his responsibilities as not stealing from the performers. He respects the performers. And in no way is he saying that the guys who go out there in the ring and entertain like CeeLo are stealing from the performers. The indie scene is different. Our job at CCW is we want the fans to be entertained when they leave.
Right.
You know, what they're doing on television, and they have storylines that are going week after week. They're having a hard enough time keeping that going without throwing a referee or two in there. And I think that's what we have 3 referees that bring 3 different things to the table. And I think with Lane, with his size, the first question is people wonder, well, why doesn't he wrestle? But I don't think when you first started refereeing, this isn't the Lane Austin that, you know what I mean? That's,
he was been Jack for a year.
I know, but he's been, I mean, but you started off, you were,
I was a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
I get that as a ring announcer. I do. Every time I go out, there's at least one fan that goes, when are you going to wrestle? Why aren't you in there? And I go, one, I'm not trained. I don't say this, but one, I'm not trained. 2, I need to have surgery. 3, I'd be terrible at it.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Not, you'd be terrible at it. I'm saying, yeah, I understand because.
No, we all know what you meant.
It's not a one up, I promise. This one's legit. I was with my boss from my day job. And we went, he came up to see me. I hadn't been to work for a while. I've had surgery. You guys know about my neck issues and stuff. Well, anyway,
right.
We went to Portageville to eat lunch and one of the
you seen the Portage Villains?
Absolutely. That's one of them.
Is it really?
Yeah. One of them said hello to me, the female in the group and, Stefan. And then you're laughing like I said.
Stefan Arkell. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's because that's exactly where my brain went was Stefan Arkell.
No, yeah. But it's
Stephanie.
Stephanie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know.
I said Stephanie and the waitress corrected me and said Stefan.
So, oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it really Stefan? Like
right.
It's that thing where I just read it on Facebook.
Stephanie, they're like, no, Stefan. So
Stefani?
The waitress came over and said, a girl that works here just told me that you were a professional wrestler. And I'm like, No, I'm not. You know, it was my, you know, I'm not working right now. I have a neck that barely works properly. And I'm like, no, I'm definitely not a professional wrestler.
Aren't you one of the mask guys?
Yeah.
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
You know what? Also, I was like flattered though. Like someone could look at me and if I said yes, they wouldn't go, no way, you don't look. And I'm like, part of me, I want to say, well, do I look like a professional wrestler? Right.
I don't want to try to like one up Barry or anything, but I get all the time.
I deserve it.
People will see me and they're like, you are what a wrestling fan looks like, aren't you?
Stereotyping.
Do you play banjo in a band somewhere?
Listen, I'm going to say this because I was going to say it.
Hey.
Oh. When, in Super Show this year, Colt Cabana they were going over the four-way match. Remember the four-way match? And I walked up to him to, you know, to find out what's going on, what's going on. And Cole was like, this is our ref? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I don't want you as a ref. You're too jacked. Like, and I mean, I'm saying that because, like, at first I never thought about it. Like, is that taken away
from
one of the wrestlers? You know, what the hell am I doing?
He immediately went and ate an entire pizza.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like, yo.
He put on a fat suit. I feel that way. So I don't want to make this about me at all, but
here we go.
I don't want to one up. But
in case you haven't noticed, he is a big man.
We need to start putting in, like, the one up Mario sounds.
No, no. I mean, just talking. Like, when I go out there, you know, because I do things in between matches, and I talk, and I try to be entertaining.
Well, that's what I love about what you're
I'm
doing.
But I'm scared. I'm always afraid that,
You're emceeing, you're hosting, you're not just announcing.
I don't want, like, Ace Hawkins or SB Espinoza, one of those guys, to see me out there running my mouth and go, why is this guy over there trying to get, you know, trying to be entertaining, get himself over, like, where the wrestler should? And I agree with them.
There's a time and a place for everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And we're not doing like live commentary over the match,
right?
Like that's dominating what people are hearing and like focused on.
Because I think
what you're
doing
is you're trying to fill in. There's no dead time in a CCW show.
We all want the same thing. We just want everyone in that crowd to be happy.
Absolutely.
That has nothing to do with their shine. If they get upset about it. God,
that's not saying that people have.
Yeah,
good,
no
like,
one has, as far as I'm
saying, being, you know,
God bless him,
being considerate and duly noted.
Also, much credit to Lane for using the term "shine" multiple times. Don't take his shine.
Super Mario Sunshine is underrated.
Is that a plug for the female wrestling organization?
The Shining is great. That's Shimmer.
Shimmer.
That's all.
Turning my mic off.
Okay.
Awful.
Gladly. That's all for the show. I know I'm turning it back on. that's all for the show. We got to get out of here. We're at an hour and a half.
So. I've had enough.
Straight.
Yeah, we've all had
Thanks
enough.
For having
I'm
us.
Hungry. She's hungry. He's probably hungry.
Lane's thirsty.
Oh, he's always thirsty. We'll be back tomorrow with Podzilla After Dark.
You're cut
we
off.
We should invite Lane where he can just cuss as much as he wants.
Do you know how upset I am that I haven't been able to say the F word at all tonight?
We're gonna stop recording, and it's just gonna be like the Homer Simpson.
Can I say it one time before we leave?
No, I really didn't. But
I think Jason would all yes.
But between here and the car, I'm sure you're gonna say it more times than
I'm probably gonna tell
it's
you.
It's gonna be cold as soon as you get outside.
I'm probably gonna tell you to f off so a few cold. Times before.
Well, I mean, deservedly so. Tomorrow we're doing Podzilla. We don't know what we're talking about. We'll think of something. It'll be fun.
We were going to do so next week. We are doing the Zilla Awards for end of the year.
Yes,
we were
going to
go.
Really
over,
important,
we were going to go over the nominees tonight, but we went long, so that's fine.
So what is it? What is that?
It's
kind the non CCW.
It's the non CCW.
So I mean, what kind are like video game awards?
No, we're doing it's just strictly the PWU. So we're doing like
Wrestler
of the Year, tag team of the year, so like moment, worst moment. Like last year, it was
we did
Brock
it last
Lesnar.
Year. It was a rousing success, and we had the one CCW category.
Yeah, but so this,
one.
But
oh, okay,
so this year, instead of doing a CCW category for us, we did the fan. Vote that we did,
which was amazing.
So,
by the
so
way,
so we had like we're doing our
my favorite issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated was always the which you, I don't even know if you guys remember you
yeah.
probably did
yeah no we were a part okay. of it we did it it's a part of our Pro Wrestling Unscripted Pro Wrestling Illustrated
okay yeah, yeah. anyway
yeah we own that that's.
The year, the end of the year awards was always my favorite issue.
Me too.
And that's what this is. Basically, we have our categories. Everybody brings their nominee, and we just kind of roundtable discuss
a little bit.
Who we think is going to be the.
Last year's was great. I'm looking forward
to this
year.
It was a lot of fun. So, and then also I know you're wanting to go Podzilla1985.com back episodes. Patreon.com/Podzilla1985.
CapeWrestling.com. We still have tickets available for January 27th.
Yes.
I'm walking away for the record.
Allie, you're going to need to hit the button.
Bye, Shannon.
So, bye, Shannon. Thank you. Well, if you're leaving, then I should say,
Joseph there.